Psalm 116. I love the Lord. You know, we don't have to go any further. We could talk about that for the next 3 weeks or so. I won't do that. I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplications, because He has inclined His ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon Him as long as I live. I love the Lord. The psalmist says, now listen closely. God hears and answers my prayers. You must be born again to be able to say that. You can't be walking in darkness and really believe that God answers your prayers, because no, He doesn't. But once you belong to Him, once you are His, God hears and answers your prayers. And the prayers that you want answered are the ones that are in accordance with His will. Nothing else. What a shame that more of us don't pray. And what a shame for those who are embarrassed to be asked to be prayed for. Sometimes I almost get the impression some don't want to be healed. They get kind of comfortable in this whatever they've got, and they just don't want God to do anything. I've had people say to me, no, don't pray for me. I mean, I've prayed to the Lord myself, and He hasn't healed me, so don't pray. And I think, you're nuts. We'll pray for you anyway. Can't stop me, ha-ha. Don't know what I'm doing in secret. Hey. He says, I love the Lord. He's heard my voice and my supplication. He inclined His ear unto me. Therefore, I will call upon Him as long as I live. I'd be crying out to the Lord. You should be crying out. We should be crying out as long as we live. How long are we going to live? Those of you that are Christians, how long will you live? Forever. I will cry out to the Lord and call upon the Lord as long as I live. That's for eternity. I love the Lord. Hey, we sing it sometimes. We sing a song that says, I love you, Lord. I'm sure that probably if you use your song sheets, you sing along. I wonder if we ever think about what we're saying, or if we're too busy trying to be on key. Do you ever think about what you're saying? Do you ever say to the Lord, I love you, Lord? 1 John 4:19 says, we love Him because He first loved us. I couldn't love Him unless He loved me first. I couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. We can't do it. That kind of love is beyond us. You must be born again. I must be born. We must be born again. I love the Lord, He says. The Lord hears my prayers. And because I know this is true, I will call upon Him as long as I live. Pray, pray, pray. Now, do you love the Lord? You say, well, of course I do. Sure, I'm a Christian. Love the Lord. Wait, though. Do you love the Lord? Jesus says, if you love me, do what I say. That way there'll be no question. If you love me, do what I say. I wish, I'm praying, that I could get just us. I mean, forget about all the other churches down, just us. I wish that the praise band understood when they get up here, they are leading people in worship. I'm hoping that they understand. But then I catch them going off in all kinds of different directions somewhere, and I can't, it's hard to explain to them. People are watching you. They're going to follow you. They're going to do you love the Lord enough to where you've got to do away with other things? Here's where we are. This is where God has us. And I wonder sometimes if people have gotten a hold of it yet. Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, you know I love you. Yes, Lord, I love you. Then I want you to do what I say. Feed my sheep. He asked him 3 times. I know you remember that. Peter, do you love me? Lord, you know I love you. Then feed my lambs. Take care of the little ones. Take care of the young ones. Then he says the third time, Peter, do you even care about me at all? Do you even like me like a brother? Peter was offended. He was bothered. And he finally, he was smart too. He said, Lord, you know what's going on in my heart. You know how I love you. Even though I'm not sure how I love you now. And Jesus said, then feed my sheep. If you love me, do what I say to do. Man, there's a commitment and there is a fine line and it separates a lot of things. Pray, pray, pray. I will call upon the Lord as long as I live because I love him. I think sometimes we don't understand that. I think that we've got priorities going on outside of what we call the religious section of our lives. Oh yeah, Fridays, maybe. You know, Sundays, okay, maybe, you know, except for vacation and things like that. Mondays, you're tired from work, you know. Okay, just those times, you know, that's holy unto the Lord. But then there are other times when we're not all together in fellowship. We get caught up in a lot of things out there. We all do. Do we love the Lord? We love him because he first loved us. Christian, it's going to be tighter for you than it is for anybody else. For the one who says, I love the Lord, then it kind of reins you in. It also cuts out a lot of things from around you. That's what it does. I think you know what I'm talking about if you've experienced it, if you've really done it. But he says, pray, I'll pray, I'll pray, I'll pray. As long as I live. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Be careful or be anxious. Don't worry for anything. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, everything means everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When something goes on and you don't understand what's going on, you don't worry, you pray. You let your request be made known unto God. You don't say, I'm not even going to pray about this. I'll just let God do what he wants. You let your request be made known. Lord, here is my prayer. And the peace of God, which passes all of your head, all your understanding, keeps your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He promised that. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Don't ever quit. James 5, verse 16 says, confess your faults, not your sins, your faults, weaknesses, to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person availeth much. Effectual fervent prayer from you, those of you that are righteous in Jesus Christ, makes a difference in your own life and in the lives of others. Prayer works. But for you to even call out to God, you got to finish the first part of chapter 116, verse 1. And the first part is, I love the Lord. Peter says, we love him though we've never seen him. How do you know that we love him? Because we do what he says. And there are commands. Now, some of you, you're more free than I am. Because I took this position that God has called me to, and I took it willingly. So I'm not as free as you are. You can be places, and you can get into things that I cannot. I am not forbidden, they're not wrong for me, but I cannot because of the decision that I've made and the choice that I've made for my life. Now, when it comes down to you, you are freer than me, probably, but you're not as free as some of you are living or acting. You still love the Lord, and even though you're not in such a tight locked in position, you are still His first and foremost. What are you doing that might cause someone else to stumble? What are you doing that might give someone else a message that you don't want to send? What are you doing that might communicate to someone something that should not be communicated? If I love the Lord, then I want to do everything His way. If you love the Lord, then simply we do things His way. I love the Lord. And because He has heard my voice and my supplications. I'm going to say, although I haven't talked to some of you necessarily that personally, I'm going to say God has answered your prayers and you've seen some of the answers. God is a Christian. I'm talking to Christians now, true Christians. God has answered your prayers so clearly that you have seen the answer. It was clear that God answered it. When I was praying about what to do with my life, my wife was praying at the same time. Although we prayed together, when we were praying separately, we prayed prayers that we didn't tell each other. And it was on what we should do. We should felt like that God wanted me to leave the Bible college. But I had no idea where to go or what to do. But I really felt that the Lord was saying that He wanted me to go. And so we began to pray. And we prayed together. But when we got all alone, I said, all right, God, I need some specifics here. Little did I know, Gene was praying the same things. Number one, I need this to happen. A certain amount of money to at least pay my bills. Number two, Josh was at that time working full time, and I thought it was good for him that he should keep working and not have me support him because he was 16. And I thought he's old enough. So I thought, Lord, he needs work too. Wherever you send us, he needs work too. And we need a place to live in, and we don't have any money to get there, and we don't even know where it is, but we don't have the money to get there. So a gentleman called me. No one knew I was looking for work. And a man called me and said, I heard you're looking for work. I said, well, I don't know how you heard, but the truth is I am. Can I meet with you tomorrow for dinner? So I said, sure. And so after we hung up the phone, I said, Lord, I don't want to meet with any individual and then have that individual interview me or talk with me and then tell me, I'll let you know in 3 or 4 weeks. I don't have 3 or 4 weeks. So, Lord, I need to know immediately because I need to take care of my family. That's what you've called me to do. And so I'm asking that I know immediately. When I showed up at the restaurant to meet this gentleman, when I walked in, he didn't say hello. He said, I want to hire you immediately. I said, do you want to eat first? He said, yeah, we can eat. And we sat down. And he said, and I've been thinking about it. You probably don't have any money. I'll pay to get you moved. He says, does your son work? I said, yes, he does. He goes, I'll give him full-time employment. Your wife want to work? Nope, not my wife. Not that she doesn't want to work. It's just it's a job just being with me full-time. And he answered them, each one. You could not ignore it. And so we moved to Idaho. Still kicking myself. Has God answered your prayer so specifically that you know it was Him? You know it was Him. And so you dive in with your whole heart, no matter what is thrown at you, no matter what kind of fight you're getting into. And man, I never dreamed what kind of fight would come. I didn't know about the Calvarys up here. I didn't know that they didn't speak. There were two here when I got here, and I didn't know that they were at war. Nobody told me. I walked into the middle of it and introduced myself. Well, it's nice to meet you. We don't want you here, and I don't speak to him. Cool. I go to him. He goes, nice to have you here. We really don't want you here. Have you talked to that guy yet? Yeah. We don't speak. God bless you. It's nice to be here. Now, Lord didn't tell me that. Interesting. Has God answered your prayer to where you've seen the answers? Christian? Then you are what I like to call a part of the Christian mafia. You know too much to get out now. You just know too much to be acting like some of the ways we're acting. We know too much to be pretending like this isn't real and we've changed our minds or something. And that's what the psalmist is talking about. I love the Lord. Whatever God says, wherever He wants, whatever. No matter how tight the position, no matter how narrow it is, no matter what it's like, then we follow Him. We do what He says. We are His. He goes on in verse 3. The sorrows of death surrounded me, and the pains of hell, that's the grave, got hold of me, and I found trouble and sorrow. In other words, the psalmist was near death, and he was in desperate trouble. He almost died. Now, you think about Jesus, who did die and was surrounded by the grave also. And you'll see Jesus quite a few times coming up. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beg you, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and He helped me. He says, I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beg you, deliver me. And God was gracious. He was merciful, righteous. God saved me. Though I was in deep, deep, desperate trouble, the Lord delivered me. Again, Christian, has God delivered you out of something really deep, deep, desperate? Your old nature, your old life. I mean, your old self, didn't Jesus Christ give you brand new life and take you out of all that and set your feet on a rock? Didn't He deliver you out of some deep trouble? Yes. But I believe, Christian, I'm talking to Christians only, that He has also delivered you out of deep trouble since then, has He? He has me. Man, can I get myself into it? Can't you? I'm yours. Let's go. And I go walk along, and there I am. It's up to here. And I don't know how to get out now. And I'm swearing I don't know how I got in. Lord, no, really. And if I'll just shut up a minute, He'll explain to me. Let me tell you how you got in here, mouth. That's rude. Yeah, I know. So slowly, you and I, as Christians, are learning to say the toughest word on the planet. No. It's hard to say, isn't it? I need your help. No. Thought you loved me. Mm-hmm. Help me. Mm-mm. No. There are times when you need to say no, when I need to say no, when we need to say no. You need to pray about everything you're a part of and what's going on. Pray about it. People will have you doing their ministry. They'll have you doing, well, just pray about it. God's gracious. God's merciful. God saved me. Though I was in deep, deep trouble, the Lord delivered me. God's still in that business, by the way. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with thee. He's talking to his soul. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What did we read just now? We read that you can rest in the Lord. I hope you do that. Once again, it comes back to verse 1. You need to love the Lord. When Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? You would have thought He would have said, thou shalt not murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not whatever. But you know what He said? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your whole soul, all your strength. That's the greatest thing. When Jesus said, do you love me? You said, yes. He said, then keep my words. Love the Lord your God from this moment on with everything that you are, everything that you have, everything that you'll ever have or be. And He says, you can trust in God. He'll take care of you. I believe that's true. God delivered His soul from death. Says He delivered His eyes from tears. Wiped the tears away. Says He delivered His feet from falling. Or that means slipping. So that He would be completely gone. And because of that, I will walk before Him. There, once again, is clearly a teaching that we need to obey the Lord. I will walk before Him means I need to obey Him. What it means, I will walk before Him. In other words, in His sight, in His with His eyes on me, doing His will, so that He's pleased. Genesis 17:1. Abraham is there, and he's named Abram at this point in Genesis 17. We read this, and when Abram was 90 years old, 99, excuse me, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Perfect means mature, grown up, complete. I am the Lord, the Almighty God. Walk before me and be mature. To walk before God means to stay right in His sight. And the only way to do that is to be obedient, doing His will. Stay right in front of me. Walk before me. And what we read the psalmist say is the same thing. He says, I will walk before Him. That's verse 9. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. While I am here, I will do God's will by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what the psalmist says. Why? Because we go back to verse 1. I love the Lord. If you love me, obey me. I love the Lord. I will do His will. It is my choice. I've got a choice by the power of the Holy Spirit. I choose to do what God says. Today, right now. No questions asked, although I've got a lot of questions. I sure would like things to be different than they are. I sure would like things in my life to be different. And I'd like things in this country to be different than they are. I'd like things in the world to be different than they are. But they aren't. But we continue to pray, ask the Lord, trust in the Lord. But we love Him. We walk before Him. It was in simple faith that Abraham was to walk before the Lord. It was in simple faith that the psalmist says, I will walk before Him. And in simple faith, he said, I believe, so I've spoken. Isn't that what he says? I believe, therefore, I have spoken, verse 10. I was greatly afflicted. In faith, we speak, trusting in God. Look at verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation, call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all His people. What can I give the Lord for all His kindness He's shown me? What a question the psalmist asked. What can I give to the Lord? Jesus Christ has saved my life. He's given me eternal life. How could I repay Him? What could I give Him to pay Him back? Money, lots of money. Pictures I've drawn so He can put on His refrigerator. What can I give Him? The psalmist says, what can I give the Lord for all the goodness, the kindness that He has shown to me? You know, the answer to that is not nothing. What do you think the Lord wants from you? To obey, Saul, Samuel says in the book of 1 Samuel, to obey is better than sacrifice. He's not wanting you to sacrifice and kill a bunch of animals. That's great, but that's not what He wants from you. He's not, you know, some people say, you know, I've been praying on my knees for the last 3 weeks. It's killing me, but I just really want to show God how serious I am. He's not interested in your pain. That's not what He's wanting from you, to make your knees bad. I mean, if you want to pray on your knees, God bless you, go for it. That's a good thing. But you see, it's not the pain. What it is, He wants you. He wants me. He wants us. He wants all of me. He wants all of you. And the truth is, a lot of times, does He have all of me? Does He have all of you? Let's say it together. The one word we have a hard time saying, except in this case, is no. No, He doesn't. Because I want to do that. I like doing these things. I like doing that over there. That's just kind of fun. Well, I'm part of this too. That's kind of cool. You know, we got those things back there, and I know that maybe this isn't pleasing God. It's may not bringing me closer to God, but hey, it's just how I kick back. We've got our lives like those military trays we used to eat out of. And, you know, the dividers aren't big, but they're just enough to keep whatever that is from running into whatever this is. You don't want to say what it is. You don't assume. That's our lives. We don't brag about it, but that's our lives. We got these little dividers, and they almost run together. I mean, you know, I'm a Christian, so it almost runs together. You don't find the holy and the profane in the life of a true believer. Everything's holy. Holy unto the Lord. There is no secular anything. That's a world thought. That's worldly thinking. Well, this is secular, this is religious. This is secular, this is holy. No, you're a Christian. Everything, every day is holy unto the Lord. Every bit of your money, even the part you don't give to Him, every bit of your talent, every bit of your talent. No, that's all holy unto the Lord. And that's what we do. We live our lives because we love the Lord. He says, I'll pay my vows. What he says is he'll continue to follow the Lord, praise his name in the presence of others, so that all will see that the Lord, what the Lord has done in his life. Of course, remember, when you make a promise to the Lord, that is a vow. When you make a promise, you want to keep that promise. Probably most of us, if we're going to be honest, have maybe we've made some commitments to God, some promises, and we've broken them. And God says he takes no pleasure in fools. He doesn't want it. So the good thing about our lives is you don't have to promise him a thing. I mean, that's good news. We don't have to promise him anything. He has given me life free. I don't have to promise him anything. But once I begin to promise, you promise it to the Lord, he expects you to keep. Just like he keeps his word, he expects you to keep yours. Lord, you get me out of this jam, I'll give you that 50 I owe you. You start bargaining with him, you know. God expects you to keep your word. Why? Because you're his. Because you love him. Because you obey him. So that's what the psalmist says. I'm going to keep those vows. Paul was under a vow, if you'll recall, headed for Jerusalem. And he purposed in his heart, I'm keeping this. This is between me and the Lord, and I'm keeping it. But there's death waiting for you. There's danger waiting for you. Paul, you can't. I'm going. I'm keeping this. I've given the Lord my word, and I'll do this. And don't worry. If you know, to live is Christ, to die is gain. But I've given him my word. You know, you start giving God your word. Think about what you're saying. Don't just toss it around loosely, but think about what you're saying. He says, I'll do it. I'll pay my vows to the Lord. Verse 15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. What a thought. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. What does that mean? God is glad to see me die. That's exactly what it means. You say, that's tacky. No, it isn't, because what happens to me when this physical body dies? I go home. That's precious to the Lord. You're coming home. You don't know how thrilled he's going to be. He knows when it is, too. He knows when it is. And that's precious to him. When a child of the Lord dies, there is a party. There is, it's a party in heaven, and they're there, and it's what a thrill to just stand in the presence of God. You're going to go home. Precious in the sight of the Lord, the death of his saints. We miss them. But if they're truly born again, and we're truly born again, we'll get together. We'll see them again. We miss them now, but man, that's precious to the Lord. Oh Lord, verse 16, truly I am your servant. I am your servant and the son of your handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. He says that the death of the saints is precious to God. I am truly your servant. Now, I hope that you and I could honestly say that. Not because we've earned the position, or not because we really want it to be, but because from our heart we're saying, I am yours the rest of my life. Do what you want. Do what you think you should. Lord, do your will. Just use me. I am your servant for eternity. Paul calls himself, John calls himself, you'll see Peter, they use this word doulos. It's a Greek word. It means a slave by choice. I am your slave by choice. I am your servant for the rest of my life. I choose that for my life. Others can go on and become something in this world. What I want to do is serve you in whatever capacity or position or whatever place you say. No matter what the consequences, what the circumstances or situation, I am your servant. Oh, my goodness. And he says, I will worship you. I will praise you. I will call upon you. Again, he mentions, always. I'll give to the Lord. I'll worship the Lord. I'll praise the Lord in the congregation. The people will hear me praise and give to the Lord. And then he says, as it closes, praise the Lord. Psalm 117, I hope we can make it through. All nations. Oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. You see, all nations are called upon to praise the Lord. All people everywhere are called upon to praise the Lord. And they will. You and I should now and from now for the rest of forever. But all nations will eventually. Even Germany and France too. They will. They will praise the Lord and call upon the name of the Lord. That's what God's word says. For his merciful kindness is great toward us. Who's us? All people, all nations. Don't you know he could have wiped out the earth thousands of years ago? Don't you know he could have crushed this place before you even had a chance to get to it? Don't you know he could have shut down the whole game before you and I were old enough to play in it? And yet he has been so kind and so patient, so long-suffering, and it's gone on and on and on. And a lot of people think it's always been this way. No, there was a flood. No, there was Sodom. There was Gomorrah. No, there was a Tower of Babel. No, there were all kinds of plagues in Egypt. There were a lot of things have gone. There were miracles when Jesus Christ was on this earth. And the thousands of years since, a lot of things have gone on. No, it hasn't always been the same. His mercy, his merciful kindness is great toward us. And the truth of the Lord endures forever. God's truth. We're hearing now that truth is relative. There's In America especially, there is no black and white. Everything is just as plain gray anymore. And they're making decisions based on faulty minds who can't see clearly the black and the white. They're just seeing gray all over the place. And the decisions are embarrassing. And you read about the decisions and you think, I'm ashamed for them. I'm embarrassed for them. They said this, and these are educated men, more educated than I will ever be, and I'm embarrassed for them. I wish they could hear the things that they were saying in the light of truth. Because God's truth endures forever. Long after these justices and these lawmakers and all of us, long after we've been here and gone, should the Lord wait a while to come and get us, life will go on and all these people will be gone. And God's truth will go on and on. And the song says his truth marches on. It does. On and on and on. God's truth endures forever. And so the call is to praise the Lord. That was that one. How about 118 now? We'll do this quickly. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that reverence him or fear the Lord say that his mercy endureth forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. I think God is good. I still think God is good. Even when it doesn't go my way. Has anything happened to you just recently besides the world events? Even maybe in your private life that just didn't go your way. Just didn't go the way you really had dreamed or hoped. And right in the middle of that, you could stop and you say, I don't like this, but God is good all the time. It's all right. God is good. This light affliction that we call life is but for a moment. God remains good. And that's what he says. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy never ends. Merciful. It never ends. It endures forever. And then he calls on the nation of Israel. Says, hey, You need to praise the Lord. He calls on the house of Aaron. That would be the priests, the spiritual leadership. He also calls out to all the worshipers, all of you, Israel, house of Aaron, worshipers, those who reverence God. Everyone should give thanks, and that includes me and you. We should give thanks to God. I call upon the Lord in distress. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. That means a good, solid, big place. The Lord is on my side. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? That's the question. The Lord taketh my part with them that helps me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. And it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. When I was in trouble, he says, I called upon the Lord and he heard me. I've been in trouble. Have you been in trouble? And I called upon the Lord. And the good thing about trouble that you and I are in, God knows how we got there and still helps us out. Now that's cool. She was taken in the very act of adultery. She was dragged out of bed, dragged nude through the streets into the temple area, nude, naked, straight from the bed, the adultery bed there. She can't say it wasn't me because there she was. And Jesus didn't go into a 45-minute counseling session trying to decide if it was poor potty training or how her upbringing was or maybe she was abused as a little girl. Well, you know what he did? He said, I don't accuse you. I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. Mercy. He has mercy. That's what we're reading here. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. He doesn't quiz you and try to belittle you and pound you into the ground to embarrass you in front of him and say, you are making me sick. No, you know what he says? Repent. Turn around. Come to me. And you come to him. And he doesn't sit down and go, now what possessed you to get into this? Why are you? He just says, go. You're mine now. Sin no more. Everybody around you then pounds you down and crushes you. I heard that you did this. You're sick. I heard, people told me that you were into these kind of things. Oh, yuck. And then we all go into the temple of God and say, I thank you, Lord, I'm not like that pervert back there. I fast twice a week. Get that twice a week. Thank you, I'm not like that idiot. But then that idiot bows down on his face and says, forgive me, Lord, sinner that I am. Jesus said, the one who humbled themselves went away right in the sight of the Lord. That's the way you and I want to be. Certainly, none of us could cast the first stone. Certainly. He says, I called upon the Lord in my distress and he heard me, he answered. And I like it when he says, the Lord is on my side. Can you say that? If you say that, you have to go back to Psalm 116 and first say, I love the Lord. Meaning, I am truly born again. It is real in my life. I'm really his. And the Lord is on my side. God is for me. I will not be afraid. The question is, what can man do to me? You know, mankind can do nothing to you. Nothing that's going to last long anyway. They could take your physical life as about as much as they could do. And some of your money. Some of your stuff. They could steal from you. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. Let your lifestyle be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. And the psalmist says, Lord's on my side. What can man do to me? The answer, you got God. He's on your side. You're fine. Romans 8, 31, 32. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? God is on my side. I can trust in him. What can man do to me? If you are afraid of people, you are going to stumble. You and me, we become afraid of people, afraid of what they're going to say, afraid of what they might think, afraid of what they might do to you. You will stumble. You will not obey God. You will not follow. You will be too timid. You'll be too afraid. You've got to be able to say, I love the Lord. I'm his. I am your servant, O Lord. The Lord is on my side. What can man do to me? And notice, he said, and I mean, you got it. This guy's great. It is better to trust in the Lord, verse 8, than to put confidence in man. Better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. It is always better to put your trust in the Lord than in people. Love people. Serve people. Trust God. That's scriptural. That means I do not trust you. I can love you. I can serve you. I can help you when I can, but I cannot trust you. I put my trust in God. You put your trust in God. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. If your whole heart is trusting in him, you don't have any place, you don't have any heart to put trust in any place else or anything else. Trusting in God. I hope that's what you're doing. Because then when someone lets you down, you won't be angry at them. You won't take it out on them. You won't grow bitter or spiteful or ugly because there won't be any need. I wasn't counting on you anyway. You let me down. Knew you would. God bless you. They say, forgive me. Not a problem. You're forgiven. All my trust is in God anyway. I wasn't counting on you to do it. I was counting on you to fail. Thank you, you did it. All of us, we're humans. You put your trust in us, we will let you down. Given enough time, you say, not my husband, not my wife, not my friends. Oh, them too. Just give them some time. Sure. The only one that won't let you down is God. Now, the only one you haven't put all of your trust in is who? The very one that you know will hold you up, that you know will never go back on his word, that you know when he makes a promise, his word is trustable. You can take it to the bank. That very one, you and I catch ourselves, well, it's not that I didn't trust you, God. I thought I'd try this first. We tried that approach, and now we're even in deeper, Lord. Okay, so we'll trust you now. No, you want to trust God. It is always better to put your trust in God. That's what the psalmist tells us. All nations, verse 10, surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord, I will destroy them. Israel will be saying that one day. Jesus could say that also. Jesus himself was surrounded by his enemies, and they hung him on a cross. Watch. They surrounded me about. Yea, they surrounded me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They surrounded me about, verse 12, like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns, for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. Have you ever been around bees? Have you ever had a swarm attack you? I mean, a real good, solid swarm of hornets. We were in the Indian Ocean, and we were knocking down jungle on this little island, Diego Garcia. You see it in the news because all the B-52s take off from there, a lot of them, to go bomb places. It's kind of nice. We're out there and there's nothing on this island but a bunch of large palm trees and a little bit of jungle. And that's our job, is to build runways so the B-52s can take off and bomb things. And we're out there, and I was about 18 years old on the other side of the planet, about 125, 130 degrees most every day. It's beautiful. I loved it. It was great. Get a tan, drive a big, huge bulldozer 12 hours a day, 6.5 days a week. They let us work half days on Saturdays. And there were about five of us on the crew, and each of us had a big DC-9. Those bulldozers, the tracks are 6 foot tall. You're sitting way in the air, and this machine can move the world. And you're just tearing things down, and we're building a runway. And they stop me. They call me down. The petty officer calls me down. He says, "There's a hornet's nest in the tree up there. It's a couple hundred yards. So we're going to draw straws to see who's going to take it out." I want you to know I'm 18 years old. All these guys are in their 30s and 40s. But I'm still thinking this is fair. I'm going, okay, yeah, I'll draw. I pull the first one out, it's like this big. All the others are 6 feet long. Now, how they did that, I don't know. But they knew who was going to go knock that down before they decided to be fair. So we put me on one of those military raincoats. You know, it's the big, thick plastic. And I tied it down to where all you could see was my eyes. And I'm completely covered. And, you know, it's 130-something degrees outside. You're sweating. And you're going full speed in the dozer. That's not very fast. Okay? You got a long way to go. You are burning up. You've got this hydraulic oil. Everything's hot around you. And you're melting under this. I'm melting. And I hit this tree. And as I look back, they are all already, this is a little bitty island, they are all in the ocean. They are in the water waiting for me to hit this tree. I hit the tree, threw the thing in neutral, hopped off and ran, and billions of hornets ran with me the whole way. I mean, I was covered in them. When I jumped in the water, the other guys were laughing because they were in the water, you know, 5 minutes before that. Those bees, when you're surrounded by them, you can't even see. You just, anywhere you run on that island, you're going to hit water. So you just run. What did he say? The nations surrounded him, his enemies like bees. I mean, they were on him. He was completely covered. Think about Jesus. How they hated him. How the soldiers took him in and mocked him and abused him. He was completely surrounded by hundreds, probably thousands of officers or soldiers at that time. Thou, he says, hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. Oh, man. You think of Jesus surrounded by his enemies. They thought they had him. He was thrust sore, wasn't he? He was nailed to the cross, wasn't he? They thought they had him, but they didn't. He says, the Lord is my strength, or the Lord helped me. Verse 14 says, the Lord is my strength and my song, and he's become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. Verse 17 says, I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord hath chastened me sore, but he has not given me over unto death. All right, the psalmist says, I'm going to live. But you know what? Jesus said the same thing. I will die, but I will live again. Yeah, he will be chastened of the Lord. His punishment is not his, it was mine. And Jesus took that upon himself and was chastened of the Lord. The anger of the Lord, the fury of the Lord poured out upon Jesus Christ. And the Lord is my strength, we read. When at the beginning he says, the Lord is my strength. Remember Philippians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. I know both, Paul says. I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. I know how to be dirt poor and really rich. Have nothing and have everything. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry. To abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Again, the psalmist said it the same way. The Lord is my strength. We can do all things through Christ because he strengthens us. God is going to handle this. I will live. Jesus said, I'll see you again. On the third day, destroy this temple and I will raise it up again. On the third day, Jesus says, I'll see you again. I will live because the Lord is my God. You and I will never taste of the second death. We will not die that second death. We'll never experience it because we belong to Jesus Christ. See, Jesus paid the price. All you and I need to do is come to Jesus. And we can say the same thing. I'll never die. Physically, my body can die, but me, the real me, I'll never die. I'll never taste of death. I will never die because God is my strength. He is my Savior. He's my Lord. Jesus did die. But he was not given over to death. Death couldn't hold him. He rose again. He's alive. And he ever lives to make intercession for every one of us. All right. Verse 19. says, open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. Jesus Christ is that gate, in case you were wondering. Jesus Christ is the way and the truth and the life. He's the door. You enter into the presence of the Father, into the kingdom of God through Jesus Christ. What does he say? The gate of salvation. Who is the gate? Jesus Christ. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there be that find it. Well, you know what? If you think about it, on Broadway, Jesus says, stay away from Broadway, because broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many go in thereat. What happens is you're on this big Broadway, everybody, and you sort of get funneled into this tight little hell. But you enter in Jesus Christ narrow, and you notice once you come through by grace through faith, it widens out and you're totally free. Notice the difference? Jesus is that gate. He's the way. Now we look at verse 22, I believe it is. The stone which the builders refused has become the head of the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. You know, Jesus is that cornerstone. He said so himself. The stone that the builders refused, he was despised and rejected. Yet he is the way. He is the foundation of the whole thing. He is the door. He's that cornerstone. He is the foundation that you and I build on. Jesus Christ, no other foundation can we have but Jesus Christ, him crucified and risen from the dead. In Matthew 21, Jesus is speaking, verses 42 through 44. Jesus saith unto them, did you ever read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? He says, this is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth fruits thereof. And wherefore shall, whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. You fall on Jesus Christ. You come to Jesus Christ and you are forgiven and you are given eternal life. You wait and reject him and that stone's coming down and you will be crushed and destroyed for eternity. That's what Jesus is saying. Verse 24, a familiar verse to all of us probably. This is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is a day, a special day. Now, God makes every day. God allows every day. God created this universe and everything in it. But this is speaking of a special day. There is a special day. Yes, he's given to us every day, but this is the day the Lord has made. And you say, what special day is it? The next verses show us. You'll recognize them. Verses 25 and 26. Save now, I beg you, O Lord. O Lord, I beg you, send now prosperity. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. Remember, here's the day that God has made. This is the day. What day? The day that they will cry out, the Messiah is here. The Savior of the world has arrived. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. In the Greek, Hosanna, meaning save now or salvation now. They cried that on the day that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey. That was the day that the Lord has made. This is the day that the Lord has made. That one day that Messiah would come to the world and they rejected him. This is the day the Lord has made, but you and I will rejoice and be glad in it. I am glad that Jesus came. And there he showed himself to be Messiah. And just a few days later, he was crucified for my sins. And he rose from the dead again so I can live. From there, as you recall that short ride down the mountain, from there, Jesus went and he cleansed the temple a final time. It'll be years after this that the temple will be destroyed. Temple is no more. You take a look today, temple hasn't been there since AD 70, 2,000 years almost, it's been gone. But this final time, Jesus cleansed the temple and he makes this statement in Matthew 23, 38 and 39. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me again from here on out until you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. You will not see me again until you cry out, Hosanna. Salvation now. Jesus Christ will come back again and they will cry out, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. The day that was made was back there when Jesus rode in. There's another day coming, though. He's coming back. He will return. Hold on by the power of the Holy Spirit to Jesus. Verse 27. God is the Lord, which has showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even to the horns of the altar. Jesus was bound to that cross. He was nailed to that cross. He is our Passover lamb. He's the sacrificial lamb. He died for us. Thou art my God, verse 28 says, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Again, for me to say you are my God, I have to go back up and say, I love you, Lord. He is my God. You are my God. I hope for you and for me, that's the truth. From our hearts that we can say, Lord, you are my God. And I will praise you and exalt your name forever and ever. I will lift your name up, praise and give thanks, for God is good. Pray about these things. I believe God is calling us to a real faith that maybe you've never even seen before in others, a real faith. One that says, I love you, Lord. One that says, I am your servant. One that says, you are my God. You are my strength. One that says, my life is in your hands. You're on my side. What can man do to me? A true faith. Because we're in the days that that needs to be seen. It is time for me and you to get all the way in. Or go ahead and be real and get all the way out. I suggest all the way in is the key to this whole thing. Let's bow our heads together.